Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Happy Monday, everybody. Hey, I'm doing the show in Madison tonight. Still broadcasting statewide, but I can't say from our beautiful studios in downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing. I will say from our beautiful studios in downtown Madison here at Civic Media. So much fun. Nice to be in a different atmosphere. Conrad's holding down the fort back home. Is that correct, Conrad? You are there, right?
Yeah, I definitely am.
I didn't know if this was like a Home Alone day or you were doing a Tom Cruise risky business thing with nobody else there. What am I missing? What's happening in Green Bay?
It's cold.
It's cold? Okay. It's cold here.
Otherwise, on my way here, I was stuck behind a train for 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Yep.
Did you leave enough time? You obviously did. You're there.
Yeah. No, I definitely left enough time, but it was a surprise.
Conrad and I used to have to race to get out of the Green Bay studio when we were on from 8 to 10 because there's this ridiculous train that goes through Green Bay at 10. So if you don't beat the train, that adds 10 minutes to your commute. And now you decided to just move there.
That's one way to avoid the train.
It's one way to avoid the train. So anyway, yeah, so I'm in Madison tonight. This is fun. Going to do some work on my TV gig tomorrow, but the fine folks here at Civic Media were nice enough to let me do the show from here, and it's nice to have a different bit of scenery. But I do miss you, Conrad. I can see you through the computer here, and actually, I can't now. Where are you?
Hold on.
Are you there? I just hear a voice. Because people are watching on the stream. They want some Conrad, right?
There you go. I mean, if they want it, they got to know.
All right. Now they know. Sherry says, good evening from Horicon, not wasting any time saying hello tonight. Hi, Sherry. Great to have you with us. Thanks for tuning in. That's the beautiful thing. Listen, folks, computers are not a fad. I finally had to admit this a week ago Thursday. They're here to stay. And because of that, we can have Sherry talk to us over the stream. Whether I'm in Green Bay, whether I'm in Madison, forget about it. We're all still here together, spending some time together on a Monday night. It's great. So I hope you're having a great night, Sherry. And I hope Horicon is... Conrad, did we figure out where Horicon is?
Yeah, it's kind of close to where I grew up, actually, in Kewaskum.
Kewaskum?
Okay. Yeah, it's about, I think, like 20 minutes away.
So it's further south. You know, it's funny. There is a pecking order in Wisconsin. When you tell people where you live, like when I tell other people in Wisconsin that I live in the Marinette area, they'll go, oh, you're way up there. And I want to go, you know what? Wisconsin is way up there. So... If it makes people feel better, like in Madison, it's probably 2 degrees warmer than it is in Green Bay today. But I'm not going to gloat about that, Conrad. I'm not going to make you feel bad. I hope you appreciate that.
I do.
Okay, good. So anyway, it is great to have all of you here. We hope you get involved in the show. I want your texts. I want your comments. You can always, as you know, respond or comment on anything we're talking about tonight. The phone number is 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the app. We are on statewide, so just go to the Civic Media app and click on any one of the stations, and there's a little text icon. You can let us know what you're thinking or what your feelings are. If you have personal problems, let us know. Conrad is a whiz at helping people through, what is it, breakups? Was that your specialty?
I don't know if that was mine, actually.
Well, you told me last week you never even slow danced, so I don't think, maybe you're not the guy to talk to about it. I'm not either, so we'll figure it out together. And there's a lot going on. Okay. I got great guests tonight too, folks. I took advantage of the fact that I'm in Madison and I brought in a good friend of mine who's just a phenomenal filmmaker and he has a band. And he is also a great solo artist. So he came into the studio. I begged him to come in and I finally had to pay him. I gave him a signing bonus and a per diem. He's here tonight. He's going to join me at 7:35 and he's going to sing a few songs. We're going to have some laughs and that'll be a lot of fun. His name is James Runday. So don't miss that. He's been on the show before. We talk primarily about film. He's also a very talented filmmaker, as I mentioned, but we'll be focusing on music tonight, but probably throw a few film questions at him as well. I met James at the on an episode of Director's Cut, which was a show that used to run. It still runs periodically now. They do a special here and there. But at one point, it was a show that had about 13 episodes a year on, and James was a guest on the show, and that's how I met James, and I became a big fan. And he's had several films, I believe, in the Wisconsin Film Festival over the years. The Wisconsin Film Festival, which is just around the corner, we'll have to dedicate a show to that as well in the coming days or weeks. Brian Kelly, a very fine actor, who also happens to be an employee of Civic Media, will be along in the second hour at 8:35. Brian has done, he's a Chicago-based actor. He lives here in Madison, but he's done all, I want to say he's done all of the Chicago shows. I only watch one of those. I watch Chicago PD from time to time. And Chicago PD somehow is already in its like 11th season. And it's getting to that point in a show where I can pretty much tell what's going to happen by like the 12th minute of the episode. Like they're kind of running out of ideas, but it's a good show. It's well done. All those shows do very well. They get Emmy nominations and they've been on for a long time. I think Brian has done all of them. He's a really good actor. So I'm very excited to have him on the show. He's another guy I had to chase down. I had to beg. I pay a lot out of my own pocket to get guests, folks. I don't know if I should tell you that, but I might pass the hat at some point. Can you do that over a stream, Conrad?
Yeah, I believe so.
Think so? You set up like a GoFundMe?
Yeah.
For nightlight guests? I'm totally kidding. They are very willing participants, and they're both going to be a lot of fun. James and Brian are my guests tonight. We missed a few birthdays over the weekend because we're not here. Sunday, Rob Lowe turned 60. Kurt Russell turned 73. Nat King Cole. He died in 1965, but he was born on this day. Gary Sinise from, most people know him from like Forrest Gump, but Gary Sinise is a phenomenal actor. He's a great Chicago stage actor who I think co-founded the Steppenwolf Theater. Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins turned 57 yesterday. And today Queen Latifah turns 53 and Vanessa Williams turns 60. You know what's funny about Vanessa Williams? Like she was a Playboy. She posed for Playboy in like 1978. And then she went on to have a good recording career. That was a scandal when people found out that she posed topless. It kind of derailed her career for a while, which is mind-boggling when you think about where we're at now with people, you know, big stars having their own My OnlyFans page. And I do not have an OnlyFans page. There are a lot of pictures of me on the internet, my underpants, but I will not bow to pressure and start an OnlyFans page. My point is, folks, I think we've really loosened up a little bit. I mean, I think you can go too far that way too, but my gosh, a topless photo 10 years before she had a hit song and she had to kind of go away for a while. That's terrible, but she's pretty resilient. She stuck it out. So Vanessa Williams turned 60 today. Some big releases on this day as well. In 2022, a very underrated movie called The Outfit came out. And that was about the Chicago mob and a tailor who makes suits for the mob. And we've touched on this in the past too, how every movie that comes out now, you think he's a regular dude, but nope, he's a trained assassin. It's like everybody walking around is a trained assassin. This guy in The Outfit, the beekeeper, Liam Neeson did a movie where he was a snowplow driver in Alaska. Oh, yeah, and he kills people. He's a highly trained assassin. I could be a highly trained assassin. I just want to put that out there in case people are even thinking about messing with me. Conrad, you could probably kick some ass, I'm guessing.
I don't know about a trained assassin. Maybe if I'm an actor doing it. There we go.
Yeah, I mean they're all actors, but maybe they all learn those skills. The movie Memento dropped today in 2001. And that was Christopher Nolan that put him on the map. Christopher Nolan, of course, just won the Oscar for Oppenheimer. best picture, best director, the whole schmear. He won it. He did Inception. He did, in my opinion, one of the best Batman films. Just a really solid director. And Memento might be his best film. It's definitely, I think, his coolest. I need to rewatch. But it is an excellent film starring Guy Pearce. And you know what? We have a clip, don't we, Conrad?
Yeah, we do.
Do we have time to do that? I should do the question first, though, right? Let's do the question, then we'll play the clip. Tonight's question. It's kind of a sports thing. Sports is entertainment. How far will the Badgers go in the tournament? I think we're surprised they got in, maybe, a little bit. They had a great run in the Big Ten tournament. They're in. They're a fifth seed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember last week when I thought I missed the March Madness? It's like, did I miss the tournament? No, it's early March. Relax. How far will the Badgers go? Let us know. And look, I haven't really even followed them this year. I'll make a guess. But I want to know what you think. They have a head of steam now going into the tournament. They maybe could have beaten Illinois yesterday. It was close. We'll have Mike Clemens on tomorrow night to talk about that. But let me know what you think. How far will the Badgers go in the tournament? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad, tell them how they can watch on the stream and how they can text on this on the stream.
Yeah, so we're on Facebook with the WGBW page. And Nightlight with Pete Schwab, a Facebook page. And also YouTube, we got the Civic Media page. And on Twitter or X, WGBW.
Perfect. So check us out on the, it's like the radio on TV. I know it's a confusing concept. I never wrapped my mind around it either. But we'd love to hear from you. Like I said, you can also text through the app. There's a little icon. Click on any one of the stations and let us know how far you think the Badgers will go in this year's tournament. And now I've probably talked too much, and we don't have time for the clip, or do we?
We do not.
We do not. Okay, so we'll do that next. But in the meantime, we got a little Billy Corgan to keep us company from the Smashing Pumpkins. He turns 57. He turned 57 yesterday. A fine artist in his own right. Great guest tonight, folks. Glad you're with me. James Runday at 7:35. Actor Brian Kelly at 8:35, James is going to perform in studio. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But coming up next, a little more Memento talk and a really cool clip from the film. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. You got Nightlight, folks. Yeah, Pete Schwab here. Conrad's riding shotgun. Sherry says, next time, Beaver Dam on the stream. Watching on the stream. Yeah, we could do a show from Beaver Dam. Can't we, Conrad? There's no rules against that.
I think she might have meant to say it's next to Beaver Dam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a bird. It's one of out in the burbs. Sherry's in the burbs of Beaver Dam. That works. That's some texts here. Andrew from the 630 says, Pete Schwab in Madtown? Where are we drinking after the show? Oh, wait, Pete's sober. Maybe just steal some of Crudy's stash. Maybe I shouldn't have read that. I don't know. Did I just divulge information about Mike Crute? I don't know. I don't think so. Great to hear from you, Andrew. I have not had a drink in a while. And I got to tell you, I am sober. I mean, it's not like I was a drunk before, but I'm like totally sober now. And I got to tell you, it really sucks. No, it's great. I don't anticipate this lasting forever. I think I've said this on the air before, but there's no way I'm going to be able to go through the rest of my life without having a martini or an old fashioned. That's not going to happen. Just a glass of scotch. But I'm digging it right now, Andrew. But I can meet you for a nice Coca-Cola or a malted. We can go down to Pop Tate's in Riverdale and have a malt. Great to hear from you, Andrew. Jim from the 920 says, good evening from Appleton. Hey, Jim. I know it's all virtual, but Jim's text seems farther away than usual. Am I clairvoyant? Is that, I don't know.
Well,
I'm
it
a
is,
little farther
it,
away.
Yeah, the it text is farther,
seems farther away.
Away.
Yeah, barely. How you doing, Jim? Good to hear from you. Aunt Carla checking in from the 608. Hey, she's in my area code. Aunt Carla and Uncle Jim predict go Badgers, go all the way. Okay. Headlines we see. Badgers take the NCAA tournament. Cinderella story. I love it. Aunt Carla, listen, I hope it happens. Badgers should have won in 2015.
Yeah.
That sucked. I mean, I was down here doing some work on my TV gig, and I brought my kids with me thinking they're going to make history. So they were here for all the craziness. It was a Monday night. And then we sat in my hotel room. We walked around State Street, took in the ambiance, and saw all the red suspenders and the overalls. And it was just a really electric atmosphere. It was so much fun. And then that Grayson Allen, I swear, I don't know what I can say on the air that won't get me in trouble. I'd probably still get him in a headlock if I saw him. I'm not saying I could take him. He wouldn't see it coming, though. And he'd be in a headlock, and then he might weasel his way out of it. But he got away with a lot of stuff. The refs made bad calls. The Badgers should have been champs in 2015. But, yeah, who knows, Aunt Carla? Maybe they could do it. That would be fun. Sherry says, you can come to Horicon anytime. Sherry, we're coming by. Fix something, a nice hot meal. We'll be there one of these days. We're going to swing through. We. Who's we? Conrad's in Green Bay. It's not like we pal around all the time either. We don't take road trips. Conrad, you and I need to take a road trip, I think. We haven't done that yet.
I should have came down to Madison.
Someone's calling me. This could be Sherry. So, yeah, you should. That would be fun. So, okay, so we have a clip. This is great because Guy Pearce was the star of Memento. As I said, it was Christopher Nolan. I don't want to say it was his first movie, but it's the movie that put him on the map. And I'll just give you a quick, I don't even know if I can. There's a condition that the main character has. And I there's a name for it. I got to pull it up here. It's not amnesia. What is it? I wrote this down and now I can't find it. Now I'm on the YouTube site looking for it. Anyway, he has to write things down to he's trying to piece a mystery together of who killed his wife. And he has to write himself little notes. And he has to piece together and figure out the crime based on what he jots down. It's just a crazy movie to follow. Like the first time I watched it, you have to decipher like where he's at with everything and what he's writing down. But this is the last scene, one of the last scenes where he figures out the other actor is Joe Pantoliano, great actor. And Guy Pearce sees a note he wrote himself. And he thinks this is the guy. All right, go ahead, Conrad.
Teddy, don't believe his lies. He is the one. Kill him. I finally found him. How long have I been looking?
Find anything? Didn't think so. Let's go, huh? Oh, this.
You're gonna pay for what you did. Oh, beg forgiveness, and then you pay. Let it.
You don't have a clue, you freak.
Beg my wife's forgiveness before I blow your brains out.
Leonard, you don't know what's going on. You don't even know my name.
Teddy.
That's because you read it off a f***ing picture. You don't know who you are.
I'm Leonard Shelby. I'm from San Francisco.
That's who you were. That's not what you become.
Shut your mouth.
You want to know, Lenny? Come on. Come on, let's go down to the basement. Let's go down, you and me together. Then you'll know who you really are. No!
And there you go. That's Guy Pearce, one of my favorite actors. And I think that was the first... No, I saw him in L.A. Confidential. I think was the first thing I saw Guy Pearce in. Because I don't think Memento didn't come out. I want to say, 2000. Christopher Nolan wrote and directed it with his brother, Jonathan Nolan, the lesser known of the Nolans. But it was an adapted screenplay. And just a great if you're looking for something to watch, it's just a really solid film. I would be willing to bet a lot of people have not seen it yet. So there you go. I watched a couple things this weekend too. It was sort of a cold weekend. I do these Hollywood minutes here at Civic Media. They're a lot of fun to do. And I talked about Manhunt today. And the show is on Apple TV. It's about the ensuing days after Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. And it's about the manhunt for John Wilkes Booth. And I'm two episodes in. I think they're dropping two at a time. They're running that scam. You can't watch all eight episodes at once, but it's really good. I'm two episodes in, really digging it. If you need something to watch, I highly recommend Manhunt. And they do a great job, like, just, you know, it's a period piece. They really crush it. And I also watched Octopus, which is on Netflix, and it's about another conspiracy, government conspiracy cover-up. Really cool. It'll take me a while to explain it, but maybe later in the show we can get to that. Kung Fu Panda is number one at the box office, folks. Did you see it? Let me know your thoughts. And Carla's back in the text line. We'll read that when we come back. All right, coming up in just a couple minutes, James Runday is here in the studio to play us some really cool songs. He's a phenomenal artist, a great filmmaker. He's with me in studio. And that's coming up next on Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on this Monday night, broadcasting live statewide from Madison tonight. Changing things up a little bit from our usual home in downtown Green Bay. We are here broadcasting from Civic Media headquarters on State Street and having a blast. And we're about to introduce some live entertainment here to the show. We got a few more texts here. Sherry says, yay, when I asked her to cook us a hot meal. So I assume, you know, maybe, Conrad, what do you want? What should we have Sherry bake for us?
Some meatloaf?
Meatloaf? Okay.
Or what about...
I didn't know you were going to say meatloaf, but I knew you were going to love meatloaf. I mean, who doesn't like meatloaf?
Corned beef?
A loaf of meat. Corned beef. No, thanks. That's like the worst. Yeah, I've been really watching what I've eaten like the last 2 months. And so I said to my parents who are leaving town in a few days, I said, let's go out to eat. My mom said, you know, we're like more than half Irish. She goes, how about corned beef and cabbage? I'm like, there's no way on my cheat day I'm eating that nonsense. It just doesn't taste good. Conrad, you still here? Are you Irish at all?
I am, yeah. 50%, oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. 50, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I can't do the corned beef. I would definitely go Sherry says lasagna. That works.
Oh,
that's a happy medium.
That actually works better than meatloaf too, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Carla checking in again from the 608. I forget Pete's in Madison. For what? We would totally have gone to the event. It's not really an event. I record a TV show about once a month. And I'm just in town to do that, Aunt Carla. So it's nothing too exciting. Or if there was a studio audience, I would have invited you. But from the 920, Steve. Conrad's dad checking in. Steve says, I'm always optimistic regarding all Wisconsin sports. With the Badgers' recent win over the number one seed Purdue, I feel they are setting themselves up as the comeback kids and will at least make it to the Final Four. Go Badgers. Like, normally I would say that's people being homers, but...
A lot of optimism.
It is, and it's not. They did great. That could very well happen. They beat Purdue, and they almost knocked off Illinois. So, yeah, why not? Great text, Steve. Great text all. Love hearing from you guys. Keep them coming. All right. It is my pleasure to introduce my first guest of the evening. He is a friend of mine and a really solid artist here from here in Madison. His name is James Runda. He's a filmmaker and he's also a really talented musician. And we'll probably touch on both of those during his visit. James, welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you.
Great to be here.
I like the sunglasses inside, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
It's okay, so the origin of the sunglasses is Mitch Hedberg used to wear sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
And he always used to say it would evaporate his stage fright.
You don't have stage fright.
I find that to be true.
You're like a total performer, really?
I have stage fright. Everybody has stage fright, I think.
Yeah.
Unless you're like a psycho. I mean, I can take
No, I'm just saying I like them. I just use
Elvis Presley had stage fright.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess that's how you deal with it, too. You get up there and you
find what works. When you're behind the thing that always made me self-conscious on stage is where my eyes looking.
Yeah.
You know, because it always is weird. And if you're kind of nervous and your eyes are a little darting around, then people might pick up on that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, so then when you're behind the sunglasses, you don't have to worry about that.
You might make eye contact with the wrong person, too.
Yeah,
you don't
that's
want
true.
That.
Yeah, or if you're trying to, I'm full disclosure, if you're a musician, you're going to relate to this. When you're up there in front of a crowd, and especially if you're singing and playing an instrument at the same time, that's already pretty hard. But then you got to be dancing, this kind of stuff. And you kind of feel like the person where you're rubbing your stomach and patting your head at the same time. It's like this show. It's a trick. It's a party trick.
Right,
it literally is a party trick. So,
totally.
So when you're trying to pull that off and you're trying to think and remember, oh, what was that lyric? And then you're trying to like shake your butt. And then, and so you're kind of thinking about a bunch of different stuff. And then your eyes might be just kind of fixating on one part of the crowd.
Yeah.
With sunglasses, nobody knows.
That's really interesting. And I think you could pull that off better as a musician. Like when I used to do stand up, I think it would have been weird. Like people are like, where's
what? He's on drugs
or something. But like musicians can just totally pull that off. I love it. Tell us about your band. You perform on your own, but you also have a band, Scratch Off. So tell how are things going?
The Scratch Offs just underwent a lineup change. We're now a trio and I'm playing bass for the first time in my life, but the Scratch Offs are a Madison-based band, but we're getting out and about. We've played Green Bay, Milwaukee, Stevens Point. We got a show in La Crosse coming up.
Nice.
Trying to work on Eau Claire and Superior. You guys are on our list. We're trying to hit all the corners of the state.
Very cool.
Appleton. So, the music is kind of like, I mean, if you're a fan of The Replacements or the Rolling Stones, ever heard of them? Or, maybe like Bob Dylan or something like that, you might be interested in this music. It's kind of like if classic rock got, a little bit of a revamp.
Okay.
Classic rock by millennials.
I love it. You're trying to get around. It's interesting because with this radio show, we broadcast statewide. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to reach all these places too about culturally what's happening, what movies are being shot in that part of the state or theater, or what bands are playing there. So we should do like a little tour together.
Yeah, there we go. Like we could go just
Nightlight and
exactly
the Scratch Offs.
There you go.
Do you have a song you want to play something for us?
Yeah, sure. I'll just set the song up real briefly just to say that it's about Wisconsin Highway 60. So I took a consequential trip down that road. It follows the Wisconsin River for the kind of western portion of the river. And there's a lot of, kind of collapsing farms, and coming from two farming families, both my parents grew up on small farms, and going through a breakup while I was driving this road and seeing all these kind of decaying farms and thinking about time and things coming.
You got a lot of time to think when you're driving.
Yeah, exactly. And it's when we play with the band, it's upbeat, but I've kind of worked it into a ballad acoustic. So
sweet.
Not really a ballad, but whatever. More whispery. Here we go.
James Runda.
I lit out on Route 60 in the afternoon, trying to find a place to forget about you. I loved you. I want nothing of you. I was playing through the old man's cassettes, tapping my foot and burning cigarettes on down. No, you can't take up all my time. No, you can't always be on my mind. As soon as I learn how to steer, then I'll throw this truck into road gear. The passenger seat's gonna be empty for a while, for a long, long while. Route 60 got me thinking again. Silos grown over and barns caved in. Ain't nothing gonna last, but I'll remember the past and think back on the good times we had. And every time they make me sad, I'll just take it for good luck. 'Cause you can't take up all my time. No, you can't always be on my mind. As soon as I learn how to steer, then I'll throw this truck into road gear. The passenger seat's gonna be empty for a while, for a long, long while.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Very nice. How do you do the bar chords, James? That's so hard. I'm just a
Sometimes my hand cramps if you got too many bar chords, or if like the Ramones, you know what I mean? They would always be doing those power chords, and you just like your thumb. If you play a couple of those songs back to back, your hand will start to turn into a claw. At least mine does.
Some guys, that's all they do.
I know. Like, why Johnny Ramone had like wrist and finger problems.
Oh, did he?
Because like all those downstrokes were like
24 hours to go.
Yeah.
But you just gotta sit there and do that all the time, like, and then your whole wrist just gets
carpal tunnel.
Yeah, exactly. You think like every night doing that probably 1,000 times.
So you wrote that song while you were driving. You're driving through rural Wisconsin. It's gonna be very beautiful, and I could see where you would draw inspiration, especially if you're by yourself, you just had a breakup. Where do you typically, and maybe this isn't a typical thing, but or situation, but where do you think of most of your songs, would you say? Is it when you're driving? Is it when you're walking around in a city? Like, is there somewhere you draw more inspiration from than others, other places?
Yeah, I think the idea just kind of hits you when you're walking around or doing something like that, you know? I mean, the inspiration, I think, comes from, at least for me, it just kind of comes from my life or something that I keep thinking about, or it's kind of a problem or, you know, something just kind of keeps bugging me.
Okay.
Or there's an experience, you know, but I always find that songs are really, I'm not like, oh, sit down and just whatever, write, you know, got to write a song a month. No, it's like the song presents itself to me when I go through something kind of, or, you know, whatever, something tough a lot of times, or at least that was that kind of song. I don't know if I write songs as much like that one. That one's real, just kind of hard on the sleeve. You know, the next one I'll play is a little more funny and more like of a story song.
Okay.
So I have like some other stuff. Depends on the type of song, how you write it.
What's harder? Is it harder to write lyrics or the music?
God, just depends on the song, I think. I mean, most people that write songs, I think, are predisposed towards one or the other. I think most people tend to write, honestly, if you're writing guitar and sort of the classical way of writing songs, like, oh, I'm going to pick up an acoustic guitar and write some words to it, I think a lot of people tend to find the chords first.
Okay.
Unless your name's Bob Dylan, then you might write the lyrics first and just figure out what chords to put with them. But I think most people go with them. I tend to go with the music first, but every now and then I'll have like, oh, I should just call the song this. So I'll just have the title.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, all right, how do I write the song to that title? It's kind of
interesting.
Yeah.
I think there's there's definitely a connection between, at least I've noticed, when I used to do stand-up comedy, most of the people I met, comedians, were also musical. They also played an instrument. Hmm. And I think a lot of musicians are funny. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's all timing based.
It is.
But how do you get past, like, anytime I've played my guitar, I've thought of like one line and I'll go, oh, this would be a great song. And I can never get past that one line. I don't know where to take it. Like, it's tough. Like, writing songs is hard.
The most honest thing I can say, I've probably written maybe like 35 songs in my life. And the most the best advice I can give is that it rarely is it written in one day.
Yeah.
It'll come like you'll get an idea and you think, oh, actually that piece could fit with that idea that I had laying in the boneyard. And then you Frankenstein it together and you're like, oh, call it done.
Okay.
You know, so anybody that's getting discouraged because they can only put out like one verse at a time before their creativity gets zapped and their brain has to go rest. That's how I am.
Yeah. Like,
that's how I think most songwriters are.
When you write these songs, okay, like, let me ask you this. When you were in Green Bay recently, right? Mm-hmm. You guys played a gig up there?
Yeah, like, last year.
Okay.
Last March, a year ago.
In the broad scope. Are crowds different? And you're with your band, right?
Course,
like, you get different crowds here than in Green Bay. Do they respond to your stuff differently?
Yeah. Well, in other towns, I think people are always a little befuddled. Not because, I mean, we're a good band, I think, but, and I think most people would agree if they see us, but I think it's mainly just, it's a town that's, you know, it's a band from someplace else. So people are kind of trying to figure you out. Oh,
right.
How are they different than what, you know, and obviously the music is going to be slightly different because what's interesting is you go to Green Bay, you go to Stevens Point, each scene has its own sort of cast of music that people are really into there.
You're not packing your friends in there because you're from out of town.
Right.
So that's interesting.
So and it's like this new, you know, all the people there maybe listen to some band that we in Madison don't listen to. So now somehow all their music is kind of different. So then when we come, they're like, oh, you guys sound a little different, you know, or whatever.
That is the voice of singer-songwriter James Ronde. Also filmmaker James Ronde. We'll have more with James. He's going to do another song when we come back. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it's late in the evening and all the music's seeping through, I was feeling all right, I'm with my boys, I'm with my troops, yeah. Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella groove. Singing late.
Welcome back to Nightlight. We are hanging with James Ronde, a Madison-based musician, filmmaker. During the break, James, we were talking a little bit about touring. You have all these dates in Wisconsin, maybe a date in Chicago. How different is that? Like, I've seen your films. You're a very talented filmmaker. First of all, what do you like better, making films or writing songs and doing the band thing? And what's more difficult?
Thanks for those compliments. And I think music is more immediate, so that's kind of nice because you get there's less money down on the table.
Yeah,
and right. and it's dependent on fewer people because movies, I mean, one of the beautiful things about making movies is you get to collaborate with a lot of people, but it's also one of the things that makes it a little bit more like, all right, we got to plan this really well. We got to get a producer. We got to make sure everybody's, you know, there's all these, you know, headaches and stuff that come with making a movie, I'm sure you know.
Sure, yeah.
that are not quite as insurmountable when it comes to music. So that's kind of the nice thing about it. You get a little bit more of a quicker creative feedback loop, I would say. And also just playing rock shows is fun.
Yeah.
If you get to a certain point where you... I've been in a couple different bands and kind of the scratch-offs is, you know, the band that I've been in for the last 5 to 6 years that I really was like, okay, all the stuff that I learned from my amateurish bands I'm gonna apply to this band and actually make it good and go. And so I feel like when you get to a certain level where you're comfortable playing shows and you feel like you got a good product, then it's really just fun to show that and share it with people.
You have a lot of originals.
Mm-hmm.
When you go out on the road,
mm-hmm.
how do you mix them up? Do you try to see how your originals are doing first, then mm-hmm. mix in a cover tune, a crowd favorite? How do you work that?
Yeah, we should do more covers. Honestly, we're pretty strict. We like pretty much don't play covers. We'll do every now and then. We had a Stone, used to do this song Connection by the Rolling Stones, kind of a more obscure Stone song, and then we did Money, the Motown hit.
Oh yeah.
And then we did a country cover of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean as a country,
really?
As a real sad country ballad, and that used to just floor audiences.
Oh, that's so
cool.
Yeah,
people used to be super into it, and I was super into it because I got that. I have to shout out Aaron Scholes, of former bandmate of mine, used to do open mic, and that's who I learned that arrangement off of. He used to do it like that. He had a friend that had initially come up with that, like, way long ago. They did some goofy band where they wrote a bunch of pop songs as country songs, and that one consistently rose to the top, because if you look at the lyrics of that song, they're actually really good.
That's pretty cool. You want to do another one?
Sure, yeah. This one's called Marie's Fish and Chicken Stand.
All right, James Runday.
Way on back when Marie was just a girl, she stood at the hip of her grandma Pearl. Pearl said, girlie, won't you listen to me? I'll learn you my fried catfish recipe. Well, the years went by, and Pearl up and died. At the next reunion, everybody cried, but not on account of her beauty or grace. They was missing old Pearl's fried chicken plates. On an envelope postmark 93, Marie transcribed the famous recipe. She mastered Pearl's catfish, chicken and wings, and started dreaming up much grander things. Word spread wide, Pearl's cooking had returned. The phone kept a ringing, and Marie quickly learned there's only one way to meet the demand. Open up a fried fish and chicken stand, Marie's Fish and Chicken Stand, Marie's Fish and Chicken Stand, Fish and Chicken Stand. The line for Marie's stretched around the block. They never shut it down till they ran out of stock. Folks got restless as they waited for food. One picked up his guitar to lighten the mood. A few got to dancing and clapping their hands. Another got to banging on the pots and the pans. Hey y'all, there's food and liquor and a band. Where? Down at Marie's Fish and Chicken Stand. Marie's Fish and Chicken Stand. Marie's Fish and Chicken Stand. Fish and Chicken Stand. They had a ball. And normally we have a really cool guitar solo here to fill up the time. The night the police arrived on the scene, Marie's had cashed out with like $7,000 clean. The crowd dispersed and a few arrests were made on small drug charges, but it scared up a raid. And the town board voted like 6-1. Something about Marie's, it ought to be done. So they bulldozed the building and fencing the land. That put an end to the fish and chicken stand. Marie's Fish and Chicken Stand. Marie's, yeah. Fish and Chicken Stand, how I miss that Fish and Chicken Stand, how I miss that Fish and Chicken Stand.
That's great. The song was good, but more so you gave me a great idea for a business.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go. Yes, exactly.
Now, how do those songs go? I bet crowds, do they love that? Or
people love that one, yeah. Actually. I don't know. That's a people great remember song. People remember it because it's like a jingle for the hypothetical, for the imaginary fish and chicken stand.
I love it. Where did you get the inspiration for that one?
Man. Okay, like so many different cobbled together. I was just really I was protesting the lack of food songs. Nobody writes songs about food anymore. You know, this used to be a thing. Especially, so there's this, okay, so if you really want to dig really deep, sleeves are way up, there's this guy, Louis Jordan, who was a band leader in the 40s, and some people say, he might have invented, Ray Charles was really into him. He was like kind of an early rock and roll guy from New Orleans, and he had a song about Saturday Night Fish Fry, you know what I mean? Mm. And he used to have like a bunch of songs like about food. You know, and that was just his thing, like, putting the chicken on the grill or the fish, or like smoking up the fish. And even Elvis used to sing, he had this song about crawfish and all this stuff. People used to always have these songs about food. I was kind of thinking like, it's sort of a populist thing that kind of went away.
That's so cool. And you're in Wisconsin. You should write a song about like a casserole or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or we've talked about on this show that the Choco Taco is back. I think that product needs a song.
Right. See, you're from way up in Green Bay, but down in like over on. So my family's all from along the Mississippi River, and that like a fish and chicken stand is a little bit more common over there. You know, kind of like river culture.
All right, James Runday's in studio. We'll have more with him on Nightlight with Peach Wabba coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here she comes now, walking with a little-